Good evening, everybody. This is The Huddle, straight out of Lenoxville on CJMQ 88.9 FM, The Cube. I'm your host, Zach Grayson, and joining me is my good friend and co-host, Cecil Belanger. Cece, how about that Monday night game, Chiefs against the Rams?
That was one of the best games I've ever seen.
Hands down, best Monday night I've ever seen, for sure.
Oh, yeah. For real. That was definitely, like, if you don't watch football and you caught that game, you're watching football.
Yeah, you owe it to yourself to go watch those highlights.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Other than that, we've got to get on with the show. But, again, this is our second season of The Huddle. We have this new format. And, again, a much larger variety of guests, from pro players to coaches. We had a musical guest on our first show of the year. And you, the fans at home, if you want to express your opinion on the air, just hit us up through social media on the Facebook at The Huddle, all one word. And on Instagram, at The Huddle 88.9 FM. Why not? Join the debate. All right. Huge show for you guys today. First of all, we will go into our No Huddle segment right after this. But after that, we're going to go through our NFL Midseason Awards. We're going to give out our MVP, Offensive Defensive MVP, our Rookies of the Year, and even our Comeback Player of the Year. So many candidates, so many different names that can come up. That's going to be real interesting. And then we have Ryan David. Of course, he's going to talk about his Colts, who the Indianapolis Colts are looking like they're going to make a run for the playoffs right now.
They're hot right now.
They're hot, and the whole AFC South is just lighting up. And as soon as you make it in the playoffs, you've got a chance. And we're going to talk about that with Ryan David, and especially his LeBron and the Lakers. We're going to touch on that too. Then finally, our weekly picks. Cease, I'm 3-2 right now.
Oh, what am I at?
You're 1-4.
Oh! Yeah. Hey, you know me. I love those underdogs.
Exactly, yeah. But we both whiffed on the Cowboys and Falcons. The Cowboys actually pulled it off.
That was a big surprise.
Yep. So, yeah, and we're going to end the week with our weekly picks. So, stay tuned. We're going into Hurry Up right now.
This is CJMQ 88.9 FM.
All right, Cease. You know the drill. Let's go No Huddle.
All right. We're going to start with that amazing Monday night game against the Rams and the Chiefs.
Crazy game. Look, Rams win 54-51, 105 points, 5 touchdowns in the fourth quarter alone. Again, like we said earlier, if you miss this game, you owe it to yourself to go watch the replays. And look, usually replays are 10 minutes long. This one's 16 because it was crazy. It was raining touchdowns. The quarterback battle, Patrick Mahomes threw for 478 yards, 6 touchdowns. Jared Goff threw for 413 yards, 4 touchdowns. There was over 1,000 yards of offense. And look, the defensive plays. It was crazy. There was everything in this game. This is where the NFL is heading. This is the reason why the NFL is favoring receivers and quarterbacks. And what do you know? That controversial rough-in-the-passer rule that everybody hated at the beginning of the year doesn't seem too bad anymore. Defensive linemen are going for the strip instead of the big hit. They're going for the ball, creating turnovers, scoring touchdowns. If you're one of those buffoons who thinks the NFL is dying, go watch that game and just smile to the future of the game.
Oh yeah, it doesn't matter whether you like an offensive game, defensive game, you got a lot of
that goals. Game had that everything. Game. It was wild.
Oh, and I just have to say that's the third most points scored in an NFL game.
I'm surprised. It's the first time that two teams go for over 50. That's crazy.
All right, Zach, let's switch the subject to a little bit of Golden State and their drama over there.
Yep. Look, this is still going on. There's red flags everywhere. Look at Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, in his last 3 games, is hitting 39% from field goal. He's a career 50% player. And since the Draymond Green incident, he's been, listen to this, 6% from 3-point. He's 1-17. This is single digits. 6% from 3-point.
Well, you can't fake that.
So, yeah, and then this keeps on blowing up even more. This week, he was fined $25,000 for yelling at fans, shut the up, and watch the in-game. So, are they in trouble? Let's wait, because Steph Curry still has to come back. And they're struggling right now, but Steve Kerr is 22-22 when Steph Curry is out. So, a majority of his losses have been when Steph is not playing. But where everything really, where I think this is some real drama going on, is Draymond said to Kevin Durant, "We don't need you. We were good before you even came here." Now, I love these crazy scenarios, and I have to bring one up on the show.
Let's hear it.
Imagine this. You know, Washington, they're having their own fair share of drama with Bradley Beal and John Wall. And where's Kevin Durant from? From Washington, D.C. So bear with me here. I know I'm pushing it, but what if this thing blows up even more? And we know Kevin Durant is petty. He hears everything. He looks at social media. He's aware of all that. So what if? What if after the All-Star break, Kevin Durant demands to be traded? And Golden State, they do owe him a lot because he got them two championships. He was MVP of those championships. So they try to please him and send him home to Washington, which is in the East. So the only way they'll face him is in the NBA Finals. And now you add either Bradley Beal or John Wall to your lineup. Now, I'm not sure where they would fit exactly, but look, Boogie Cousins is coming into the lineup soon, and they already have two of the greatest shooters of all time. They've won the NBA championship with this team before. So if you add another All-Star, how can it hurt them? And I mean, I think this would just provide them with so much motivation. Okay, we lost our big dog. You guys thought it was all about him. Well, with the old Golden State Warriors, we're still about it, and we can still show everybody up.
So you think Golden State's going to trade away arguably one of the best players in the NBA right now, mid-season?
Look, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I think that this thing blew up a lot. Like, it's much bigger than what we thought it was,
Yeah. And
I'm curious to see where this is going to go. But I know one thing is that Kevin Durant is soft, he's petty, and he's not just going to brush this off. The team can't come back, and it's so early in the season. If this happened at the end, I know he can kind of like battle through it or whatever. And I have a hard time then seeing them trade away a guy like Draymond Green. As much as he hasn't been producing like Kevin Durant, I don't know. I think they might just decide to go back to the old Golden State Warriors. But again, this is me pushing it. I'm just throwing it out there. So if it happens, you heard it here first.
Just stirring the pot, eh, Zach?
Stirring the pot.
All right, let's talk about those Cowboys. Who would have thought they would be up there in the NFC East?
Look, do the Cowboys own the NFC East? It seems like they do, but by default. And look, I kind of feel bad because, Cease, we might have jinxed Washington last week.
That's true.
We finally mentioned them on the show. And then Alex Smith, the guy we were raving about, gets a compound fracture in his legs. For those who don't know what that means, it means that the bone actually ripped through the skin. That's not pretty, but for those out there who like those little Illuminati, the freaky coincidences, listen to this. So, if you've seen the movie The Blind Side, the movie starts with Joe Theismann getting his leg broken in kind of a gruesome way, kind of like Alex Smith, and he was quarterback for the Washington Redskins. So, Alex Smith had the exact same injury. Exactly, day for day, 33 years after Joe Theismann. And then it keeps going. Both of them were around the 40-yard line, and both of them were caused by the only three-time defensive player of the year in the league at that time. Back in the day, it was Lawrence Taylor, and now it was J.J. Watt. And just to add to that, the final score of the game was the exact same, 23-21.
Freaky.
That's crazy. So, crazy coincidence, but look, Washington is done. No disrespect for Colt McCoy, but they are. The Eagles, they have a rough schedule, and they've been suffering from the worst Super Bowl hangover I've ever seen. The Giants are just too far behind, and I think that's why I think this is the Cowboys' division. I think this is going to be the team this year that makes the playoffs and just gets beat by a wild card, because I don't see them beating the Vikings, Bears, Panthers, or the Seahawks. Seahawks, right now, they're sitting at 5-5. I know they're less likely, but if they play the Seahawks, I'd pick Russell Wilson over Dak any day.
I would too.
And they've been there. Russell Wilson has been in those big games. Dak hasn't really, so. Yeah, so Cowboys own the NFC East by default, but I don't expect them to make much out of it.
I wouldn't say they own it just yet. I wouldn't take the Eagles out of there.
No?
Not too quick. No. I have faith in them.
I think I just love to see them suffer too much.
Super Bowl, hey?
Oh, yeah. That still stinks.
All right, let's switch sports here. What about LeBron? How's he doing out there in L.A.?
Look, I'm sorry, but yes, we will talk about LeBron probably on every one of our shows. Not because we're fanboys, because he just gives us no choice. He's leading the league in points in his 16th year. Take that in. He's leading the league in points in his 16th year. In his last three games, he scored 117 points, He's 57% from field goal. He's almost 70% from the three-point line. And the only thing you have on LeBron, you LeBron haters, is his free throw shooting. Well, he's 77% right now. So, look, something scary is going on with LeBron. LeBron was always humble, never cocky, confident, but not cocky. But these last years, he's always been around finesse players, shooters. Well, now he's around some big veteran, physical, some dudes. So, he's with guys that trash talk and get in your face. LeBron had 48 points against Miami this week and shot a deep three with 19 seconds to go to make it 51. He never did that. He would respectfully run out the clock, but he shot that three, the crowd went nuts, and he pointed to the bench. Why? Because Lance Stevenson dared him to shoot that three. And ladies and gentlemen, this version of LeBron James might become my favorite yet. He's not only going to be the best, he's going to rub it in your face. He's making shows with HBO, producing movies, Space Jam 2 is coming out next year. Oh, and he's putting up 50 points in a game against his former team. So, don't think that this is the same LeBron. This one knows he's the best. And he will make damn sure everybody knows and bows down to the one and only, the King.
LeBron James is a special player. And I've always said, don't poke the bear. This man is deadly. And if you provoke him, he'll get even deadlier.
And look, and this is one thing that I say about those who hate Tom Brady and those who hate LeBron. Just enjoy them while they're here. Because in 20 years, when there's going to be another debate on who's the greatest of all time, I know that whoever's hating right now, they're going to be there saying, no. They're going to be telling their kids, no. I saw the greatest of all time.
Exactly.
I saw LeBron and all that. And if you're hating him right now, you're going to regret just kind of putting blinds in front of your eyes and just ignoring how great they are. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Very true. All right, Zach, let's switch it up to Jacksonville. Close call, but the call happened at the end, and
you blew
Steelers
it.
Steelers got another chance, and they blew it.
Look, you blew it. Believe it or not, the team who was one Tom Brady comeback away to make it to the Super Bowl last year was on a five-game losing streak. They're playing the Steelers, so I thought, okay, no way they're winning this. But then, with 2 minutes left in the game, they were winning by 10 points. And then, you blew it. Big Ben throws a touchdown to Vance McDonald with 2:28 left in the game. And then he finishes the job by diving in the end zone with 5 seconds left on the clock. We talked about Jacksonville in the past week. We know they're done, but the way they lost just made it so much worse, and now they're on a six-game losing streak. But if you have to take anything out of this game, is how explosive Pittsburgh is. With 2:28, they scored 2 touchdowns to win the game. And right now, they're kind of in the shadow of these crazy offenses with the Kansas City Chiefs and the Rams. But watch out. Don't be fooled by all the Le'Veon Bell drama. We kind of forgot about the Steelers because of all that Le'Veon Bell stuff. But they're there, and they're getting hot. They're just getting better every week. And watch out for them in the playoffs, because they're going to be in the playoffs. They're going to be confident, and they're going to want to slap some Patriots, that's for sure.
Oh, let's hope not.
They're
going to
want the revenge.
Let's hope not. Those Steelers have been doing it. And you're right, they've just been in the shadows of offenses like the Chiefs and the Rams, who are putting up 50 points.
Yep.
Like, the Steelers are not to be messed with. And you know what? Jacksonville didn't help themselves whatsoever. They relied so heavily on their run game. And usually, once you...
You can't win a game with
exactly.
field goals.
But once you're successful in the run game, usually that opens up the pass game. But that wasn't the case.
Look, again, I'll say it again. Jacksonville is one good quarterback away from being a great team again. But Blake Bortles just not doing it.
All right, let's talk about a great quarterback. One of the Saints' best quarterbacks ever, Drew Brees. Who do you think would be at the top of the league right now? Did you pick the Saints?
Look, hey, my Super Bowl pick at the beginning of the year, it was Saints against the Patriots. So, look, I kind of saw this coming. Because remember, they had the Offensive Rookie of the Year and Defensive Rookie of the Year last year. So we know they were going in the right direction. But last week's game, we just talked about a team who blew it. Well, this team simply got blown out. The Philadelphia Eagles lost 48-7 against the Saints. And that is, they're having the biggest Super Bowl hangover ever. This is incredible. This is the biggest loss by any reigning Super Bowl champ ever. It looks like the Giants might even catch up to them in the division. Like, Drew, Drew Brees is playing on another level right now. Like, again, am I surprised? Not really. They draft well. They have a Hall of Fame quarterback with Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram. They have two great running backs. They have Michael Thomas killing it at receiver. They have so many weapons. And again, here's another team that's kind of been in the shadow of the LA Rams in the NFC. But the Saints are starting to look unstoppable. And again, to touch on the Eagles, they looked, the Super Bowl hangover right now is so bad. And look, Carson Wentz looks like a totally different quarterback right now. And they win the Super Bowl. When you win the Super Bowl, other teams want your coach.
Yeah.
And the Eagles lost Frank Wright to the Colts. And look at Andrew Luck right now. He's looking real good. So remember, Nick Foles never beat Belichick's defense in the Super Bowl. It was Frank Wright. So who is the real Super Bowl MVP? I think people are starting to realize now it wasn't the Eagles quarterback. It was their OC. And now they don't seem like much without him.
Well, I got a question for you. If Nick Foles was at the helm of the Eagles right now, do you think the record would be different?
It'd be worse.
You think it'd be worse?
It'd be worse because, look, no one can look at me in the eyes and say that Nick Foles is better than Carson Wentz. We all know that Carson Wentz is hands down better than Nick Foles. But right now, look, the Eagles do have a lot of injuries too. But an offensive system, remember, just to give another example, everybody thought Jared Goff was a huge bust his first year with Jeff Fisher. Now he gets Sean McVay as a coach. And look at the Rams. They're Super Bowl contenders, you know? Completely different quarterback. Yeah. You'd never say that Jared Goff is a bust. So, look, the offensive coordinator position is going to start getting paid a lot more because, especially the way the NFL is going, it's all about offense and it's all about scheming. Again, we talked about the Bears last week.
Yeah, true.
Matt Nagy is just making Mitchell Trubisky look like a stud quarterback. He's a exactly. good quarterback, but he's not as good as he's looking right now. And even the other pieces, like, they have good players, but they don't have players at the level that we're seeing right now, which is incredible. So, offensive coordinators, they're going to start getting paid.
I think you're right.
All right, so next on the show, we're going to go with our NFL awards. We're going to talk about who's our MVP, offense, defense, rookies of the year, comeback player of the year, all of that next on The Huddle.
This is 88.9 CJMQ FM, Sherbrooke, Quebec, Canada.
We are back in The Huddle, and it is time for our NFL midseason awards. Okay, yes, we are going into week 12, but we weren't on the air at the midpoint of the season. So let's go ahead. Cease, let's start with our MVP. Who do you think deserves the most valuable player award?
At this moment, the most valuable player is Patrick Mahomes.
Patty Mahomes.
In just his second year in the NFL, after 11 games, he's led the Chiefs to a 9-2 record.
Crazy.
After that heartbreaking loss against the Rams on Monday.
Yep.
With 3,628 yards, 67.5% completion percentage. But listen to this. 37 touchdowns and only 10 interceptions.
That's like video game numbers.
That's exactly right. Like, if you were playing your franchise right now, you probably wouldn't put up these kind of numbers.
No, probably not. haven't played Madden in a while. But yeah, right now, he's about to catch up to Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning's record year, and that was like late in his career. So the fact that Patrick Mahomes is doing that in his second year right now is incredible.
Incredible. And to be honest, I'm not that surprised. You look at the guys he surrounded himself with, like Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Kareem Hunt. These are star players.
Yep, players.
There's no doubt he's going to be putting up these numbers with guys like that on his team.
Oh, this is not a fluke. This is not a one-year deal. Like, this is going to be who Patrick Mahomes is. If they keep those weapons around him, I wouldn't be surprised if he has, like, career records if they're able to keep this squad around him.
Oh, yeah.
But for the exact reason you just said, all those studs around him, that's why I'm not going with Patrick Mahomes as my MVP.
Who do you got?
You like this guy, though.
Oh.
I'm going with Drew Brees.
You got the Brees.
I'm going with Drew Brees. Look, do people not realize that the Saints are on a 9-game winning streak? They lost their first game of the year, and since then, they have not lost once during the season. And Drew Brees right now, he's 76.9, so let's call it 77. He's 77% completion percentage. What LeBron is shooting in free throws, Drew Brees is throwing completion percentage in the NFL, which is mind-blowing. And again, I say this every time I talked about the most valuable player. For me, it's not the CFL calls it the most outstanding player. That, hands down, it is Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. But when I look at value, I try to look at how much are you elevating the guys around you. And we all knew that Travis Kelce was a stud. We all knew that Kareem Hunt was a great running back.
Yep.
And that Tyreek Hill, no one can run with Tyreek Hill. But we also, look, you can say we knew about Alvin Kamara, but like, Alvin Kamara wasn't supposed to be this guy. He wasn't a first-round pick. You know, now he also has Michael Thomas. Those are the two names that you'll bring up when you think about the Saints offense other than Drew Brees. So
you're forgetting another stud, though. What about Ingram?
Yeah, I know. But that's the thing. But that's a running back, you know. So that's not even part of what Drew Brees is doing in the passing game. So the fact that he's throwing 77% right now is mind-blowing. And again, if I look at value, I think that the Chiefs would be hurting a lot more if they didn't have Patrick Mahomes compared to, the Saints would suffer a lot more from not having Drew Brees than the Chiefs would by not having Patrick Mahomes. Not taking anything away from Patrick Mahomes, but that's my guy. Drew Brees is my guy right now for the MVP.
All right.
So let's move on to offensive MVP. And look, let me just start with this one. I have Patrick Mahomes. Not offensive MVP, offensive player of the year. So yeah. I've got Patrick Mahomes.
All right.
So for this one, I really went with who has the most astounding numbers and all that. So hands down, Patrick Mahomes is just the guy, offensive player of the year. Hats off to Patrick Mahomes.
Look, and I'll tell you my guy. I'm talking about Todd Gurley.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. So
I like it.
This is why I went with Gurley.
He's the reigning offensive player of the year.
Well, for a reason.
Yep.
He is a stud.
He's a dude.
Look at this. So when you're a quarterback throwing to these awesome receivers, you're basically just delivering the ball. But when you are a running back, you have 11 guys coming downhill at you.
Yep.
Don't get me wrong. You have to have a good offensive line to go anywhere. But this man is making people miss. And he's not just doing it on the ground too. Jared Goff's throwing the ball 43 times for 441 yards and 4 touchdowns. So he's not just productive on the ground. He is productive through the air, using his hands, making people miss, and then scoring.
And the crazy thing about Todd Gurley is that when you're on a team that has so many weapons and you're still producing that much, that means anytime he touches the ball, he's making a big play.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's crazy. He's not on a team where they're just feeding him every single play. Everybody's balling for the Rams. But every time he gets the ball, it's, again, video game level.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right, let's talk about defensive MVP. You had the reigning, MVP, player of the year. So you went with the offensive reigning player of the year on your side. Well, on defense, that's who I'm going with, the reigning defensive player of the year, Aaron Donald. Because right now, he is just on he's on another level. Aaron, all I have to say is one stat for you. Aaron Donald, while leading the league in sacks, first of all, he's a defensive tackle. He's not a defensive end. He's a defensive tackle, so most of the time, he's in the middle. He shouldn't be having as many sacks as everybody else. Oh, Von Miller, he's on the edge. He's just playing against one guy. He's getting off the edge, getting those sacks, those strips, and all that. But, all right, Aaron Donald, the reigning defensive player of the year, is leading the league in sacks, but he gets double-teamed 74% of the time. Take that in. He's leading the league in sacks, and 74% of his snaps, there are two guys trying to block him.
Yeah.
And he's still leading the league in sacks. And like we saw on Monday, he'll strip the ball too, and he's on another level. When I saw that, it just blew my mind, and that's why I'm going with him for Defensive Player of the Year.
You are totally not wrong. This guy is a monster. Being a defensive tackle, it is harder to get to the quarterback because it is easier for the offense to double-team you.
Yep.
You can just send the center and the guard right at him, and you know what? He still makes the play. But for that reason, I'll tell you my defensive MVP, Jalen Ramsey.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. No, I don't agree with that.
It's coming. Just wait. He got 2 interceptions in this last game.
Oh, my God. Hey, okay, yeah.
I know they lost, but he got 2
interceptions. Been losing.
I understand that.
6 games.
But just because the team is losing doesn't mean there's not a star player on that team balling out. This guy has accumulated 36 tackles with 3 interceptions and a forced fumble. Like what? You don't get 36 tackles as a DB in the NFL. This man is balling out. Yes, his defense is struggling, but he's still shining as a defensive player.
Look, I totally do not agree with this right now, because look, if you're going to put Jalen Ramsey up there, I'm going to talk about him later, but my defensive rookie of the year, I feel, is having a way better year than Jalen Ramsey. And we'll talk about this later, but I think that someone we have to mention, because it's someone we thought was going to get it from the beginning of the year, is Khalil Mack. True. And we owe him an honorable mention. But the only reason why I kind of took him out of the conversation is because he's been injured this year. But if anybody on the defense was added to a team and then just brought their team up, is Khalil Mack. You know, who were the Chicago Bears before this year? Yeah, very Matt true. Nagy and the offense, they really helped out. But Khalil Mack just, they made that good defense a great one and so entertaining to watch. But let's go with offensive and defensive rookies of the year. Who do you have for offense?
For offense? Ooh, this one was easy for me. The man, Saquon Barkley.
Yep, we agree on that one.
Oh, he is one of the most outstanding rookies I've seen in my lifetime. He came out here and performed just as good in an NFL quality as he did in
college. Not phased. Was not phased at all. Yeah,
there was no hump for this guy.
Nope.
He just came in and started performing with all the top running backs in the NFL like it was nothing. That is a rare, rare breed of person.
No, yeah, Saquon is on another level. And that, look, there have been some great rookies, a lot of quarterbacks, but no one who stood out, and no one, Saquon Barkley, the number two pick of the draft, by far has been the best offensive rookie this year. And for defensive rookie, I'd be surprised if you said anybody else, but who do you have?
I want to hear who you have this time.
Look, defensive rookie, I've got Darius Leonard for the Colts.
Yeah.
Look, who else? He is leading the league in tackles right now by almost 20, and he missed a game. He has 104 tackles right now. He has 4 forced fumbles and 2 fumbles that he recovered. He has an interception. He has 5 sacks. Look, Darius Leonard, he was picked in the 2nd round. And again, my guy Ryan David, he's a huge Colts guy. He was so frustrated when they picked him, because no one expected this type of production by Darius Leonard, and he brought, again, the whole defense up. And the Colts, they're scary, man. And the fact that they're so young and that now they're drafting this well, look, watch out for them. But Darius Leonard, I think, is hands down, I don't know who else you can think of, defensive rookie of the year. And look, that's why I don't think Jalen Ramsey can be picked defensive player of the year, because Darius Leonard, for me, is having a by far such a better season. 104 tackles to 36 right off the bat, you know?
You know, you're right with that stat, but hey, he's a rookie, and that's why he goes in that category.
Hey, there you go. Finally, comeback player of the year. And I think there's two guys here, but who do you have?
Me? I have J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt, yeah.
J.J. Watt, that man is a freak on the defensive line. This man is coming back from a tibia fracture up close to his knee, and he is performing. He's putting up 36 tackles, 4 forced fumbles, and 10 sacks. This guy is incredible. I don't know what he's eating, but he's got to keep on eating that.
So, on my side, and I totally agree with J.J. Watt, the only reason I went with this other guy is the NFL, they love stories. The fans love stories and all that, and kind of like the build up to, is he ever going to come back, really? So I went with Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck.
I went with Andrew Luck because, first of all, this Colts team is completely different with him there. But also, it's just the whole story about Andrew Luck. 1 year ago on this show, we were talking about, is he ever going to come back? He couldn't throw a football, and he didn't throw a football like forever. Like, he didn't play. Last time he played, he was 27, and now he's 29, and now he's killing it. He missed a whole year of football. As a quarterback, that's huge. Not everybody can come back from a shoulder injury, of all things, when you're a quarterback on your throwing arm, not play for a year, and apparently not even throw a football for over a year, and then play like he's playing right now. Not only dominating the game, but just leading his team, and actually everybody's starting to look at the Colts again as a legit team to watch out for.
Oh yeah, and he's enjoying himself too. Like, you can see in his play, missing that time, he's really taken advantage of the time he has on the field now, and he is performing.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about that. That's going to be a scary team to look at down the road.
With their cap space and the way they're drafting right now, such a scary team. And look, while we're talking about the Colts, we didn't plan about this, but look, coach of the year, let me just throw this out there, Frank Reich. Like, the Colts right now, again, Andrew Luck is having his best year coming off that type of injury when we didn't even know if he was able to come back. And again, like we talked about, the Eagles are struggling, and that's the same Eagles who beat Bill Belichick's defense last year with a backup quarterback. And now I think people are realizing, okay, wait, who is the real MVP? It wasn't the most valuable player, it was a coach, and it was Frank Reich, because now he came into the Colts organization and he just completely changed the team. Him and Chris Ballard at GM, for me, they just made the Colts so legit and such a big threat. And look, at the end of the day, just because of the story behind it, I'd be a little bit worried for the Colts to play the Patriots. Of course, I'd take the Patriots because it would be in Foxborough too. But you never know. And especially when a team gets hot, they're hard to stop.
You know what? If we're going to talk coach of the year, you know I'm telling you that Belichick is in that category.
That's kind of like like LeBron and Michael Jordan and Tom Brady. Like, they should be considered for coach of the year and MVP every single year.
Look,
but people don't do it because now they expect Bill Belichick. Any other coach would have this team. Look, you do have Brady, but it'd still be a different scenario. But we just expect it from Bill Belichick, you know? Like, what if he'd be 10-6 at the end of the season, it would be a horrible season for him, even though he's 4 games over .500.
You know, I think you're right, and that's why I feel like he deserves it. Like, the Patriots are another team that's been in the shadow of all these high-scoring, flashy teams such as the Rams and the Chiefs, the Saints as well, that I feel like they're not as appreciated anymore.
I think it's just because the Patriots have been winning for so long that people are just happy to finally be able to root for someone else, or be able to be excited about someone else in the league. And because at the end of the day, the Patriots they're not a flashy offense.
No.
You know, it's dink and dunk, throw it to the running back, throw it to the slot receiver. They're not taking shots. If you looked at Monday night's game, Rams and Chiefs, they were throwing the ball 70 yards. It was home run plays and all that. The Patriots aren't that. So I think just the league is just appreciating this new like generation of offense, of young offensive players that the Rams, Chiefs, those types of teams they have.
I think you're right.
All right. So next, we're going to finish off the show with our weekly picks. I'm in the lead right now at 3-2. Cecil's 1-4. So we'll see. And we'll see if we figure out what that bet's going to be at the end of the year. Next on The Huddle.
Don't forget the website, www.cjmq.fm.
We are back at The Huddle, and with me I have one of The Huddle's original six. Ryan David is back on the show. Ryan, we've got so much to talk about. So, right off the bat, let's talk about the Colts. The Colts are hot right now, and finally, you're not the only guy talking about them. We're talking about them weekly on the show. The NFL is talking about them. There is some hype building up. And watch out for those guys who are going to try to jump on your bandwagon. I bet it does. So, oh, okay. Yeah. Well, okay. So, Defensive Rookie of the Year, I agree. And we just had a segment talking about our NFL awards. And that's exactly who I'm going with. Coach of the year, yeah, Frank Reich. Because I was even talking about earlier, you look at last year's Super Bowl with the Eagles, like Nick Foles beat Tom Brady and Belichick and all that. And now Carson Wentz does not look like the same guy at all. So at the end of the day, the MVP was kind of Frank Reich just running that offense. And now, yeah, look at him with Andrew Luck. So Andrew Luck's having his best year. And then what do you have? Andrew Luck, comeback player of the year. I think he's on everybody's list. Like, I don't know who else. You can go with J.J. Watt, but it's, and he's a quarterback. And the NFL loves stories. And that's the only reason why. Because Quentin Nelson is a great pick for offensive rookie of the year. But I think everybody's going to go with Saquon. Saquon's a flashy player, and you know it's an offensive lineman, but that is a great point. That is mind blowing. No sacks in five games. I've never seen that before. And yeah. That's crazy. Coaching. Yeah, that's why. That's just another aspect where you got to give Frank Reich credit in terms of coaching, because, like, okay, Quentin Nelson is great, but there's still five guys on the O-line, you know? Yep. Isn't that the Sunday night this week? Oh no, that it's Titans and Texans. Yeah, that's going to be a good one too. Yeah. Huge game. Who are the Colts playing this week? Oh, okay, so that's a W. Yeah, that's a win. Yep. That's crazy. All right, so yeah, I know you're hyped up, but how hyped up are you? Where do you see the Colts now compared to how you saw them at the beginning of the year? Where do you see them finishing their season this year? Obviously, I know you see them in the postseason. But look, then you look at the Texans, and right now they're playing the Titans, which is going to be a huge game. But then they're playing Browns, your Colts, and then Jets and Eagles. So I'm kind of looking at, I don't know about Titans, but then after that, like, they're going 3-1 because I don't think they're going to lose against the Browns, the Jets, or the Eagles. And then your game and the Titans is a toss-up. So I think I would expect Indy to be a wild card spot right now. But and as soon as you're in the playoffs, look, me being a Patriots fan, I know it more than anybody else. If you're a wild card team, it doesn't mean you can't win the Super Bowl, because I got my dreams crushed by the Giants twice being a wild card team. So as soon as you're in the playoffs, anything can happen, and especially when you're on a hot streak. Exactly. We've seen some teams start off real strong, getting a little bit cold in the at the end of the season, going in the postseason, doing nothing. We've seen some mediocre teams catch fire at the end of the season and then just carry that momentum throughout the whole postseason, like the Eagles and the Jaguars last year. That's crazy. Yeah. Yep. That's crazy. That's the thing, because if people aren't worried about the Colts now, especially teams in the AFC South, the scariest thing isn't that they're catching fire right now, they're getting hot. It's the fact that they have so much cap space right now to work on. So next year, this team is going to be so much better. And because it's not just a lot of cap space, it's a lot of cap space in the hands of a great general manager who's proven himself that he can draft, and I'm sure he's going to go get some free agents. Yep. Yeah, it's the Colts are going to be so entertaining to watch. And look, even this season, you know, we're talking about next season, but this season, so many things can happen as soon as they make it in the playoffs. But let's switch gears to the NBA, because your dude, LeBron James, is just going off right now. He's just put up 50 against Miami, his former team. And now he looks like LeBron, and he looks even, might I say, even better than before, because now he can shoot threes like none before. Like, he's 50 in his last three games. He put up 117 points. He's 57% from field goal, almost 70% from the 3-point line. And what's the biggest criticism about LeBron? His free throws, and he's 77% in those last three games. And we can't talk about the Cleveland game because we're recording this on a Wednesday. It's happening right now, but it will be done by the time this show airs. And look, don't be surprised if I'm not surprised if he scores a triple double and goes over 40 at least. It's in Cleveland, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's in Cleveland. Oh.
Averaging 28.8 rebounds and 7 assists on the season, and he's playing a career low minutes right now.
That's one of the craziest stats is that he's not playing that many minutes. So he's gonna be fresh come playoff season, and this team is only getting better.
Did I tell you they would?
Yep. Yep. It sounds like you look at Cleveland and it just looks like such a soft team compared to what LeBron has now. And that's one thing that if you don't like LeBron, you should be worried right now, because LeBron last year, he was surrounded by a bunch of soft players, you know, shooters around him. And he was I came back home, I'm with Cleveland, I'm doing this for the city, whatever. But now LeBron, he's surrounded by veterans, like physical guys that will get in your face. And now I can kind of see them influencing LeBron. Like, what did LeBron do at the end of the Miami game? He already had 48 points, 19 seconds to go. He shot another deep three and made it and pointed to the bench. And at first I thought he might have been pointing to Miami, but he was pointing to Lance Stephenson. And when I heard that Lance just dared him to take that shot just because he thought he wouldn't do it, and LeBron did it, that's when I started to think, oh, I'm going to like this LeBron. Because this LeBron, like, he's always been confident, but now he's going to start getting cocky. He's going to rub it in your face that he's the best. And I want him to be like that. I don't want LeBron to be humble. I don't want him to be nice. Like, just go off, put up 50 points, put up 60 tonight against the Cavs. Like, I love this LeBron, and I hope that Lance is just going to keep being in his ears, influence him to be even more, and just rub it and stack up the stat sheet. I don't care. Yeah. Like, LeBron used to be the fuel for his whole team, but now for the first time, he's actually getting fueled by his teammates. And you're talking about getting underneath the skin of some teams? Well, who's the number one target in the West? Golden State. And right now, if I can think of any team you can get under their skin, it's Kevin Durant and Golden State.
Oh, you better believe.
This is just lining up to be a crazy story a year ahead than what we expected.
Kevin Durant is easily the softest
25,000. And you've been in the league for 12 years. How, like, the amount of stuff that fans must have told you. You've been in the finals. Like, some fans are only there to try to throw you off. So you've heard all of this. So, like, really, he said that one thing that made you snap? No, KD is just, look, he's a cupcake. Wow.
So there's only a 5-game difference between being second worst in the West and first place in the West. It is so competitive right now. The only team that's not competing is Phoenix, which I guess was to be expected.
Yeah.
But it is just a competition at all levels right now. The Lakers are 8 seed right now, only 3 spots behind first place. And people call me crazy again when I said the Lakers were going to finish a 2 seed in the West.
Well, okay, so I've got to mention this on the air. I sent you this crazy scenario the other day, and again, that's just me kind of fantasizing. I just want to see some crazy stuff happen in the NBA. But so I talked about this early on the show. Washington's having their fair share of drama with Bradley Beal and John Wall, and Kevin Durant, he's from Washington. So what if all of this starts blowing up? Look, KD right now, since the Draymond incident, is 6%, single digit from three right now. He's 6%. He's 1 for 17. And right now, field goals, he's 39% in the last three games, and he's a career 50%. So look, what if this blows up and this keeps getting worse and worse, and KD just kind of isolates himself from the original Golden State? Because now we know that Draymond, he said that they didn't need KD and they were good without him anyways. So, hey, and exactly. And look, if they would end up trading Kevin Durant, they'd be nice to him. They owe him something. So why not trade him in the East, where the only way they'd face him would be in the NBA Finals, back home to Washington, and then they get a Bradley Beal or a John Wall. And again, you told me, where do they fit? I don't even know. But I can just imagine with Boogie Cousins coming back in, and you still have the old Golden State, two of the greatest shooters of all time. I think that it would even fuel them for their season, actually being like, all right, well, now we don't have KD. Let's show everybody that we weren't all about Kevin Durant. So I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. I feel like it'd be something. And if this gets any worse, don't be surprised if, I don't know, he might not last the year. We've seen some crazy stuff.
Nothing that can happen that will actually, like, really surprise me. Because I feel like anything is possible. Like, your scenario just might happen. So, you know, they might find a way to trade KD for John Wall and Bradley. And have all these guys that's very great in a rotation. You know, because in this day and age, as we've seen, anything is possible. Now, on my end,
oh no, yeah, he's out. Yep. All right, so we've already went past our time. I'm not even surprised. Every time you call in, we've got so much to say. But it was great having you on the show, Ryan. I'll talk to you soon, and looking forward to having you back.
Hey, anytime you want me, it'll be my pleasure to be on air with you again.
All right, take care.
Take care, man.
This is CJMQ 88.9 FM.
All right, we're back for our last segment of the day, last segment of the week, our weekly picks. So right now, I made a mistake. I tried to snake UCs, but the record is I'm at 3-2, and you're at 2-3, so it's still a close race. But let's start off right now. First game, Seahawks against the Panthers. Who do you have?
You know what, Zach? I'm taking the Seahawks. I believe my boy Russell Wilson is going to lead their team to victory.
All right. Well, I like it because I'm going with the Panthers.
Oh.
Yep. I think that Cam and Norv Turner, their offense, is definitely going to make enough plays to beat the Seattle team. And look, I think Seattle might still make it through a wild card spot this year. But I think this game is all about the Panthers. The Panthers also fighting for a wild card spot. Yep. This is going to be a great game to watch, though. Next, we have the Browns and the Bengals. Another divisional matchup.
That's a tough game.
That's a tough pick.
They're struggling a little bit, but I think I'm going to take the Browns. I believe in Baker Mayfield, and I would love to see him turn out a victory this week.
Well, I'm going with the Bengals. And I'm not doing this on purpose. It's just because the Bengals just lost against a first-round quarterback, Lamar Jackson, who's playing his first game of the year as a starter. So I just don't see them losing against another rookie quarterback. I think they're going to put pressure on Baker Mayfield. I think they're going to get in his face, trying to get in his head. And hopefully, for me, the Bengals come out on top. But again, that's another game that I don't know. And next, we have kind of a battle of the dumps here.
Yep.
The Jaguars against the Bills.
You know what? I got the Bills in this one.
Really?
I got the Bills, man. I don't think the Jaguars can depend on
even
their pass
with the
game.
Jaguars defensive player of the year.
You know what? Yeah. It's their offense that they depend so heavily on the run game. I don't think that they'll be able to run all over this Bills defense. I think that they're going to have to depend on the pass game, and that's why I think the Bills is going to win.
Okay, well, this is going to be quite the week because I'm going with the Jaguars. Look, the Bills have, I don't even know if they're still fighting for anything right now. I know they're not tanking. The Buffalo isn't the type of place where they're going to start tanking. But the Jaguars, look, at the end of the day, they blew it, but they were still 2.5 minutes away from beating the Steelers, who are a huge team. So I'm going with the Jaguars here. So far, all three of our picks are different. So let's go here with the Sunday night game, Packers against the Vikings. Who do you have?
This was another tough one, but I feel like we're going to agree on this and say Packers. Aaron Rodgers hasn't been playing his best football, but he is still an elite quarterback, and I feel like he's hungry for a victory.
Well, you thought we were going to pick the same ones, and you were wrong, man.
Again!
Look, I picked the Vikings last week, and they didn't show up for me.
Exactly.
They lost against the Bears, but I think two divisional games back-to-back. I don't see the Vikings losing again, and yes, it's Aaron Rodgers, but this game is in Minnesota, so I do believe that the Vikings are going to have a huge game, come back strong, beat Aaron Rodgers, and make a run for the playoffs. So, final game. This is going to be, again, I talked about this one with Ryan. This is going to be huge for the AFC South. But the Tennessee Titans against the Houston Texans. Who do you have?
I got the Texans this one. I put my faith in the Titans last week, and they really turned me down. And I lost all faith. I feel like the Texans are taking it.
Well, I'm kind of disappointed because I was hoping we had 5 different picks. But yeah, I'm going with the Texans too. Look, the Titans, I feel like their huge win against the Patriots was mostly because that happens all the time. Someone who knows the Patriots very well, like Mike Vrabel, and they have so many ex-Patriots players there. But then just getting slapped like that by the Indianapolis Colts, the Texans are just too hot right now. Deshaun Watson has found his stride. He's playing at the ability that we all expected last year before he got injured. So I'm going with the Texans, and I can't wait for next week. I can't wait for next week's show just to see what's going on with the Golden State drama. What's going on with just LeBron? How's he going to do all these games this weekend? And from me, Zach Graveson, and Cecil Belanger, this was The Huddle.